Support for Faith Matters comes from the law offices of Mullen, Hoard, and Brown, LLP, offering a full range of legal services to regional and national clients. Mullen, Hoard, and Brown are members of ALFA International. More information is available at 765-7491 or mullenhoard.com.
Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, celebrating 100 years of faith and healing for Eastern New Mexico and West Texas. Covenant Health's mission continues to be ministry through healing by caring for the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. Now here's your host, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and it's my special delight and joy this Sunday afternoon to welcome back Sheila Patterson-Harris and T.J. Patterson. T.J. and Sheila, we covered a lot of ground and a lot of history last Sunday when we talked about the wonderful history of your dad, your mom, and their families. T.J., to begin this Sunday afternoon, I want to begin with your involvement in education. First of all, last Sunday, you talked about your high school education and then the special experience that you had at Bishop College in Marshall. I want to fast forward. When you tried to enroll as a graduate student at Texas Tech University, Texas Technological College, I should say, at the time, Sheila, will you recall for our listeners how Phil Price describes your dad's encounter with the president of Texas Tech?
It begins in 1959, a year after he arrived in Lubbock, Texas. Patterson, my dad, made a visit to the Texas Technological College campus, located just on the west edge of downtown, to inquire about enrollment procedures for entering graduate school. He was promptly escorted out of the building. That President Goodwin refused to see him in his office has remained a bitter memory. Dr. Goodwin wouldn't talk to me inside the administration building. He came outside, Patterson says. I had to go outside to talk to him. Once on the grounds, Goodwin explained why he couldn't accept his application. Patterson remembers the conversation vividly. He said, "TJ, you know I can't let you in." And he showed me the catalog. The little red, black, and white booklet stated, "This shall be known as the Texas Technological College, and only white students shall attend." Patterson remembers his indignant response. "Dr. Goodwin, one day," I said, "one day we're going to go to school here." In 1959, it was a rare circumstance for a lone black man to challenge the word of any white man, let alone a college president. But Patterson's retort would soon ring true.
And let's go forward just 2 years, TJ. What happened 2 years later with your aunt?
She enrolled in summer school.
Remind us who your aunt is.
Miss Lucille Sugar Graves.
And she was the founder of
Marion Mack Private School. Quite a lady. Let me add something else to what Sheila has just read. Back in those days, you had to be lumped. They had something called the draft system. You were 18 years of age. You were ready for military service. I had come here from Wichita County. And then when I got to town, I switched over to Lubbock County. But in those days, those draft boards were actually white females. And I was raised in saying on the campus of Tech, they had to do something with me. So that was a good opening to get rid of me real quickly in 1959. I'll never forget that. Dr. Goodwin was an interim president. He wasn't a president. You know, he was tall and looked tough. I said, "Lord, hope I don't go to jail here." But he looked out for me because I thought that was important. I didn't know what was around the corner, but I knew this was a state university. I did know that. So why won't they accept me? And I recall I've switched counties from Wichita County to Lubbock County and the draft system. Soon after that, I was drafted to the military.
So you think the drafting...
Oh, definitely so.
...went along with the fact that they refused you admission to graduate school?
I knew I was handy. I could be touched by the local political system. That's what happened in those days. And I couldn't argue. So they called me to come to Amarillo, Texas. I told Bobby, my wife, I said, "Baby, I'll be back this afternoon." I did come back on a bus going to Fort Hood, Texas. That's how they took care of business in those days. I couldn't win. There was no political base to fight with anything in those days.
But I want to commend you for your courage in standing up to the system, the unfair, unjust, inhumane system of segregation. 2 years later, let's go back to that wonderful aunt of yours when vindication came in the form of your aunt.
She enrolled in Texas Technological College, the first summer session. She took a friend of hers with her, Miss Vivian Cook, who was a teacher at Dunbar High School in the art department. They came out together. Miss Gray's enrolled, and she became a student. She made history happen. I was just happy, Tom, to see it happen. It was about time for something like that to become a reality. Like the old folks say, you do things for the children.
Absolutely.
Those folks coming after you. They got to see that things can really, change. Really happen.
After that, Sheila, let's just kind of, I'm going to go back and forth with this. In your time in Lubbock, when you were in high school, tell us about your experience of going to Coronado.
Actually, I was a full-time student at Dunbar Struggs High School at the time. When I was a sophomore, the thing that had taken place was they began to allow students in the vocational programs from Coronado, Lubbock High School, and Monterey. They put the vocational courses at Dunbar. So those students would come half a day in the name of desegregating the school. So from early in the morning to noon, desegregation was going on. But afternoon, it was the same old ball game. My way of thinking that they were playing games. I went and decided I was going to go and take some classes at Coronado because I could. In those days, we had what we would call 0 hour. Classes would start at 7:30 in the morning. And so I would go to Dunbar at 7:30 in the morning for English and whatnot. Then I was given an hour to travel from Dunbar out to Coronado. I became a member of the debate team at Coronado High School, and I was the only one who looked like me in that class. But I wanted to show that if we're going to do this thing, then I'm going to take advantage of it. I did. I did just that.
Between the two of you, what a story. What stories. And TJ, fast forward again. You were on the faculty then of Texas Tech. Tell
amazing.
Us about that.
It was amazing. That's because of Dr. Grover Murray and Dr. Barnett, the vice president, Texas Technological College. They let me go to the College of Business Administration. They gave me a course to teach. It was called BA 1290. It was a pass-fail course. Explained all the disciplines. What was accounting? What was finance? Etc. So you couldn't major until you had received 60 hours. By that time, you don't know the difference. But I thank God for that. The class that I had met twice a week. 425 students in BA 202. Boy, you had to have your act together. Those white kids looking at you, you follow me? You didn't know what they was going to say? Because I gave them a hard time, had to.
But you remember the president at the time.
Dr. Murray, yes, I remember him. He's quite a fellow. He was an engineer. He was in geology, excuse me.
Of course, and he was also the one who was in the founding of the medical school. He was such an important figure in those early years of the medical
school. Smoked the pipe always. You can say it with a pipe in his mouth. He was quite a fellow. I appreciated him. I appreciate the opportunity he had allowed for me to become a part of that area. I became the assistant to the dean of the College of Business. I worked with Jack Steele in those days. Oh, we had some good times together. We learned a lot together. I said, Lord, how did I get to have this opportunity here? Of all the bad things happening in my life, look how you're blessing me right now. And I was so happy about that. The young people got to realize where you come from. And once you realize where you come from, the journey won't be as difficult. And you don't mind traveling a long distance. Oh, I just feel good about that.
You've captured such a wonderful picture of Lubbock in the struggle to integrate and to defeat segregation. So at that point, we'll take a short break and we will continue with this wonderful conversation.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health. Since 1918, Covenant has brought together world-class physicians, nurses, and professionals whose sacred mission is compassionate care for every patient. And is Lubbock's most awarded hospital for high-quality patient care, you know you're in caring hands. For more information and to see our 100 years of medical milestones, visit covenant100.org.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. To continue with that riveting conversation we're having with Sheila Patterson-Harris and T.J. Patterson. T.J., let's move from the schools, which subsequently was resolved in the courts after many, many years. Let's move to the political system. When you came to Lubbock, it was a...
At-large system. Four city council person, five. Because of the efforts, A. Gene Gaines, a local attorney, who got the ball rolling along with the... escaped my mind at the present time. But they worked hard for that. Took about 10 years or more.
And then we would identify Dan Benson.
Outstanding fellow, very outstanding.
Outstanding, and the team of lawyers. Oscar Perez was one. There were several of them that were together that when Judge Woodward ruled in favor of the at-large system, was resolved on appeal.
But it became a reality, though. Nothing happens overnight. We've seen the importance of that decision, you follow me? Because folks of color had been screened out of the system, and you didn't have an opportunity to even fight back or even to participate on what was equitable for all of God's people. And thank God for that. I'll never forget that. We shouted in the street, so to speak. We felt good about it because we realized that somebody upstairs really loved us, not because of what we looked like, but what we had to contribute. That's why young folk today cannot quit. No matter how difficult things are, you have to remain vertical in the saddle, but have something to offer. Nobody gives you nothing. If they knock you down, get back up. It's a good game. It makes you strong.
Sheila, as you sit in your father's seat that your dad occupied for the first time on the city council, what does that do for you?
Oh, as I stated before, man, it's some big shoes to fill. I can only hope that the things that have been instilled in me, the same things that I have wanted for myself, the same thing I have wanted for my children, that I want those very same things for every citizen that is actually a part of this city. Every citizen, no one could be left behind. No one should be excluded. As my dad often says, we're all of God's children.
Exactly. And then in a special way, TJ, I remember your special relationship with Maggie Trejo.
Who was... That's my sister. Oh, we got along well together. We Maggie, fought together.
Maggie was the first Latino, as we say nowadays, to be elected to the city council. Tell us about your special relationship with Maggie.
We worked together collectively. It was only two of us. But see, there was a total of seven, you follow me. So we were outnumbered. You know how God works. We learned that they had something called the 6-7 vote. They were passing all this stuff. I said, Maggie, we can't win. And God just touched us. And we started voting nay. I guess an item, and we won. I don't know how it became a reality. And those white folk, we call them in those days, they know what war we did or we did. We was in Washington, D.C. They came to us and said, why y'all keep stopping our stuff? Because y'all won't listen to us. The point I'm saying, it doesn't take many to make something happen.
And then with Maggie and yourself, in the book that Phil has written, Phil Price has written, again, to mention the name of the book, Equal Opportunity Hero, T.J. Patterson, Service to West Texas. Phil and you recall in this book your special relationship with Alan Henry. You see him as a special friend.
He's a good friend. Still a good friend of mine. He was a councilman and became mayor of Lubbock.
And a special working relationship with him.
That was important. No matter who's in control, you got to be able to get along with people. Just because I disagree with you, we can still come together and make some things happen. Win, lose, or draw. You felt good about getting up in the morning because you knew you had a task to perform. You felt bad some nights. I got whooped pretty bad some nights. But you got to keep on keeping on. And if you keep on keeping on, something is going to happen. Something will become a reality.
Let's go back to when, following the incident at Tech, you were drafted. And then you rode with a white man on the bus going to fulfill your duty to your country as a loyal citizen. That bus experience was something else.
That got me. That shook me up, you know, because he was so buddy-buddy riding from Slayton, where we picked him up, to Dallas, then we got to Shreveport, then we got to Bossier City. That's what had happened. She got on the bus. She was tired. I respect womanhood. And then she looked around and said, I want this boy seat right here. I said, oh, Lord, help me here. And so I said, ma'am, I can't let you have my seat because Uncle Sam paid for this. And he told me to look after this seat. I had to respect and pay attention to what he wanted me to do. I wouldn't get up. But I wouldn't go to the bathroom until we got to Birmingham, Alabama. And that's a long way from Bossier City.
And your friend backed you up to you.
No, he looked the other way like he didn't know me.
He did.
He looked out the window. I said, Lord have mercy. You don't never know.
And then, of course, then subsequently when with a small child with your wife, we were going back again to where you were doing your training. You had some like experiences when you went to wash your clothes.
Let the wife do it in that part of the country. It was tough. When you had a dark pigmentation, nappy hair, thick nose and thick lips, they gave you a hard time. You had to look the other way. You didn't understand why, but my granddaddy being German and being Anglo, I couldn't understand that. But he had told us in so many ways, you have to listen above the noise.
And then, of course, as we remember Martin Luther King, when you came to Lubbock, first of all, you really were bound for Atlanta, weren't you?
I was going to go there. Some guy was going. That's 51 Plymouth. I'm giving a plug for a Plymouth man. A stick shift. I was going to drive down to Atlanta, Georgia, and work with Dr. Martin Luther King.
And then you were instrumental in renaming a street here after Martin Luther
King.
That's
right. It took several years to do that. It was called Court Avenue, but now it's called Martin Luther King Boulevard. We just celebrated 50 years of his death, what he had traveled through as a human being for all of God's children. It's only appropriate that we give credit where credit is due for those who came before us. Those who want to make America, to make Lubbock, Texas, USA, a much better place for all of God's children.
TJ, on behalf, and Sheila, on behalf of the citizenry of Lubbock, to thank both of you and your dad for that special contribution to the honor we pay to Martin Luther King. At the same time, to the spirit of Martin Luther King, nonviolence that lives on in both of you. At this point, we take a short break and we will continue this marvelous conversation. Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health. Since 1918, Covenant has brought together world-class physicians, nurses, and professionals whose sacred mission is compassionate care for every patient. And is Lubbock's most awarded hospital for high-quality patient care, you know you're in caring hands. For more information and to see our 100 years of medical milestones, visit covenant100.org. The views, opinions, and comments that are expressed on this program are solely those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions of KTTZ-FM, Texas Tech Public Media, Texas Tech University, Texas Tech University System, or our faculty and staff, our affiliates, our partners, and our sponsors.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters, our special guest this Sunday afternoon, are T.J. Patterson and his daughter, Sheila Patterson Harris. Phil Price is the author of this wonderful book. And when the book was launched at the library, which is dedicated to both Bobby Jean and T.J., now I was hoping that the Prices could have joined us, but they were unable to do so. But they asked me to share Victoria's remembrance for us. T.J. Patterson, one of the richest men I know, born into a loving family that loved the Lord, honor, dignity, respect. Money cannot buy these riches. A very rich man indeed. When people ask me how I became involved in this book, Phil had a stroke and asked me to drive him over to TJ's and take a few notes. Okay, get in the car. And these are some of the notes. When black people were not allowed in, quotes, all white hospitals, TJ survived polio. When blacks were not allowed to attend Texas Tech, TJ became a professor. When his country asked him to go to war, he did. When blacks did not hold public office, he served 20 years as city councilman. When blacks did not own major businesses, he established a newspaper. When prisoners needed ministry, he served. When drug dealers occupied his neighborhood, he confronted. This is T.J. Patterson. Sheila and T.J., what a lovely tribute from the Prices, and what a lovely way to begin this last segment of our wonderful conversation together. Your days as a newspaper man really intrigued me.
I was a F student in English in high school. I had to learn words and et cetera. I had to learn how to read better and be able to talk, et cetera. It's been a challenge. It was called the Lubbock Digest in 1977, about midnight that night.
Tell us about Eddie Richardson.
He's like a brother to me. We were real close. We get mad at each other. I started singing. He ran out of the building crying. But because of his integrity, didn't want to give up no matter what we tried to do. We stayed together.
The paper then became the voice of the African-American community, the churches and the entire community.
Definitely, not just in Lubbock, but in West Texas. It was quite a challenge. It's a lot of work there. It's not easy. You can't complain. You got to keep on working, work hard. You got to deal with the business community, you follow me. When you're in the public view, you got to treat people equitably.
The paper subsequently had a new title.
It was the Southwest Digest. Because we're reaching more people outside the Lubbock area. I can't explain how it happened because of that. Hard work will make anything happen.
And then Norval Pollard.
And that was a blessing.
Tell us about that.
What happened? We were talking to Norval one day when he was with the Avalanche Journal. Uh-huh. And he said, what I'm going to do is we're going to distribute your paper once a month on a Friday in the Avalanche Journal. So we only were printing 4,000 copies. And when that went out throughout each various zip codes in Lubbock, which meant a lot of people became familiar with the Southwest Digest, that's nothing but God. Only because of his grace and his mercy did that become a reality. And I'll not forget what Paula did. Every time I see him, I salute him. I say, oh, thank you, man. You know what? We haven't missed a publication date yet.
Wonderful. And Sheila, from your perspective, I'm sure you take great pride in what Eddie Richardson and your dad have done in the publishing field.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It just provides an example of the things that you can make happen if you treat people right, you do what's right, and make sure that you put God first. It's just a great example of what can actually take place and how you can impact the lives of so many people, people that you'll never see.
TJ, looking back over your 60-plus years in Lubbock, what stands out? Your beautiful wife, of course, and your family.
Oh, yes, she's Tok Lum. As we say in Vietnam, she's number one in my life, you see. But just to see the city itself, we got some problems. See, I know that. It's still not equitable like it should be, but we've come a mighty long way. That's been very significant as I look at it. And I would still love to see the eastern part of Lubbock, Texas, USA, begin to look like the total city of Lubbock. I know I won't be around when it happens, but one day it's going to happen.
And you have further vision that the Lubbock will become one integrated city with equal opportunity.
That's what we must do. That's what God wants us to do, come together. But you know, I'm going to leave one point with you. When next time you drive towards Tahoka going south, you look to the west, you see development. But you look to the east, no development. But you're going to extend the outer loop 10 miles. That's not equitable. That's not fair.
Sheila, from your perspective, parent, educator, councilwoman, in your dad's presence, not in his shadow, what would your prayer and hope be for our community?
I'd kind of have to reiterate some of the things that he said, that no matter where you look in the city, the things are equitable. And there's a difference in equitability and equality. Those things are different because allowing all individuals to have the same opportunity. That way, individuals will be at their own mercy of getting things done. You provide them with the opportunity and let them take advantage of it, and they'll do what they need to do with it.
Sheila and TJ, on behalf of Chuck Luck, our wonderful producer, myself, and this radio station and Faith Matters, thank you so much for being such elegant, beautiful, delightful guests on this program. Wish both of you well. Thank you for your service to God's people, and especially to God's people in West Texas and in Lubbock. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, celebrating 100 years of working to improve the health and quality of life in the communities we serve. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.